Welcome, and thanks for joining me today on Mortgage Manager Playbook, a podcast for sales leaders who want to improve their team's sales performance and originate more loans. I'm Pat Sherlock, your host.
Today's topic is one of my favorites for sure this year, especially in our more difficult times. And we're going to talk about the three types of leaders and what works in a volatile market. I have the perfect person, Michael Morehouse. Michael is well known in our industry. He is the founder and president of Morehouse Group. Prior to that, he's had a long, successful career from originator to manager and everything in between. He was with Summit, Windstar, and quite a few. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you doing, Pat? It's great to be here.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you, and I loved our conversation that we had about this because I agree 100% with what you're going to say. But before we kind of hop into that topic, let's talk about the famous, how did you get into our business?
I think I'm just like everybody else, sort of stumbled into it. I had a machinery manufacturing company that I had for years. I started when I was 18 years old, and I had a salesperson that became a really good friend. And one day he told me he was no longer going to be a salesperson for me, and he was going to become a mortgage broker. And I looked at him and it's like, okay, this is one heck of a transition from industrial sales to being a mortgage broker. So he became one, was very happy with what he did. And about a year and a half later, I decided I was going to get out of the manufacturing business. And I was talking to him. He says, you need to go out and you know, find a mortgage company that you're going to go to work for. So it sounded like a good idea, and I decided I was going to go ahead and give it a shot. So I was up in Orange County, California. I called up companies, and I said, I want to get into the business. Tell me about your training program. And it was over 20 companies that I ended up interviewing with, and none of them really had a training program. It was the, Pat, you remember this, we'll give you some business cards when you get a loan. You know, we'll show you how to be a loan officer. Mm-hmm. And the last company was a company called USA Mortgage, not the same one that exists today, but it was a sub of a bank. And they told me you don't get to go out in the field for 90 days. You have to go to mortgage banking school, title school. Mm-hmm. You have to help open loans. So I went to work for them, and they took me from sort of soup to nuts. So when I went out in the field, I think I was semi-competent. I mean, that's up for discussion. I'm sure there's different opinions, but I at least had a confidence level that I knew that I could handle things. And it included sales training. So that's how I got into it. And I liked it, really liked it. And, you know, here I am. That was 1984. So it's been a few years, seen a few cycles.
Well, it's still the same. You could call those same 20 companies, and I bet they're not around, but
yeah.
But I love that story for sure. And I know with your present company that you're doing a lot of executive coaching, strategic planning, consulting in and out of our mortgage business. And so talk about what are leaders talking about and focusing on versus what they should be focusing on. I'm curious what you're seeing.
You know, and I think specifically for the mortgage business, because there's some things that I do outside of it, but there are, I think a lot of leaders are frustrated. There's three buckets that I put people in. One is the leader that knows that they have an issue and they've been actively engaged out there and they found some solutions and they're going down that path. Mm-hmm. And those leaders, sometimes the solutions don't necessarily all work out, but the fact that they understand they have issues is really important. And right. I think that's a great thing. There's companies like that I'll do a little bit of help, point them in the right direction, maybe do a little consulting. The next mm-hmm. one is a company that knows that they have issues. Maybe they haven't defined them, so they really haven't found the solutions, but at least there's an awareness there. The last bucket, the last company I'll say leaders are the ones that don't know that they have an issue, aren't looking for a solution, and they are leaders that I've sort of characterized they're expecting versus doing. In other words, they're expecting the business to sort of come around because historically it has. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been rescued in many cases. And it doesn't mean that people weren't doing a lot of the right things, but the market always helped us. Well, I mean, I'm looking at the clock here and I said, well, it's been over 3 years of challenging times. This has been a really good stretch for people.
Well, I agree with you 100%. And I'm curious about in those three buckets, how many of them actually are aware they have a problem and want to do something versus how many are clueless and do not understand it at all?
I would, you know, if I was to, at least with the people I've talked to, I think that you probably have about 25 percent of the people that are actively involved, and they're really addressing the real problems. That middle group is probably, I'll say, 50%. They know they have issues, and the balance is going to be the other group. I think the problem that leaders are wrestling with right now is there's the length of this time period that we've been in, but there's also some complexity that came into the business for leadership, and it goes all the way down to the sales staff. There's, you know, technology is there and it's done some incredibly great things. But part of the problem that not only technology, you know, it solves some problems, but also there's some issues that come along with it. And that is that there are people that expect technology to take care of some of the problems. Right. And I think, you know, we're really down to how do you understand your people at a deep level? If we're talking about sales staff, what are their individual skills? What are they doing on a day-to-day basis? Where do you need to help them? You may have somebody that's a great salesperson, but once they contact somebody, but they don't know how to prospect. So I think that's some of the things they're struggling with. And it's almost like there's too many choices for people.
Right. Mm-hmm. So when you think about this issue, and I agree with you that it looks like for sure that the external environment is not going to be rescued through refinancing. I mean, that seems pretty clear this year. And actually, if you look at the forecasts out in the decade, it also looks to be this is our business level now. So talk about at the executive level, because I certainly have seen executives not even recognizing that this is a permanent state and therefore we have to do something different. And I know you work with teams to get them to agree on the problem. And why are some people so resistant to change? It's a mystery of life.
I think we do some change management work. And I think one of the things that I find is getting to the point where you understand whatever your true state is. In other words, what is my company? What are my people, you know, skill sets, competency levels, all that, being able to establish that. I think a lot of companies don't put enough work into that to understand what they truly are. They may have a inflated reality of some areas. So I think that's one reason that people don't do the change. The other part, I think it really comes down to a very simple thing that has plagued a lot of businesses, but I think the mortgage business has moved down this path, is there's a lack of connection with staff. If we think about our modern working environment across the country, but in particular mortgage banking business, I can be an IMB headquartered in Virginia and I can have somebody in California. And so there is this I'll call it this gap that's been created through some of the advancements in technology, I think is part of it. I think there's also been a cultural shift where you have loan officers see themselves as their own business entity, which I think has been great for the business. There's that entrepreneurship, but there's another side of it that says that, you know, when times are difficult like this, then you feel sometimes apart. So I think part of the change management issue is there isn't a real intimate relationship between senior leadership, regional managers, branch managers, and loan officers. So if I'm going to go in and I'm going to do something, I'm going to change, I may have fear that, gosh, if I get in here and I try to do this, they're going to get upset because I'm in their business. They're going to go somewhere where they don't feel micromanaged. So I think there's a lot of that. And I actually have talked to a lot of leaders, and that is, you know, comes out, I'm concerned that if I try to do this, that somebody's going to go to another company. On the other side, in a lot of the conversations I've had with originators, they're sitting there and they're frustrated. You know, they want to do better, but they're not reaching out to their branch managers or the regionals to help them. So there's this connection gap between people. And we're in a people business when it's all said and done.
No, I agree with that. But let's go back to the true state. This is the thing that I find incredibly amazing to me, is that when you talk about the true state and you use the example that the executive says, well, if I do anything, they'll leave me. I have news for everybody. They are leaving you anyway. And so the average length of time of a loan officer is essentially 2 years. So we're really renting loan officers. And we are at the same time failing to institute the right changes that in essence would keep them to the retention side. So talk about this issue. The true state, to me, your analytics show that how long are you keeping them? What's the production per learning officer? The data is just clear that it's not working. So what are your thoughts on that?
You know, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I think the data is the symptom, right?
Yeah.
And so mm-hmm. you've got to go in. And so why are you renting a loan officer for 2 years? I go back to this connected part. You know, mm-hmm. what kind of value are you providing that loan officer? There's a technical side, technology. Mm-hmm. There's going to be products, but there's this thing that's really hard to measure, which is an intangible. You know, it could end mm-hmm. up being you're going to train them, you're going to help them, you're going to go out in the field with them. There truly isn't a connection. And so I think that, you know, when you talk to recruiters, had a great conversation with a recruiter out of Charlotte. And we were talking about this earlier this week. And he said, you know, if you run across a company that has a really good culture, and we'll use that term, where everybody's connected and they're doing it, they're almost impossible to recruit from. So some mm-hmm. companies have gotten it right. I think that they don't understand the needs of those originators at a deep level. And I think you've got to go ahead and make that leap to go ahead and start connecting with them. I'm going to go old school on this. Years ago, you know, when I started out, my branch manager went out in the field with me. So did some of my fellow loan officers. It was great. It was a great support system. I would challenge a company, you know, tell me how many of your branch managers go out in the field with their loan officers. It builds a different type of relationship. You have different conversations. And I think a lot right. of the conversations you have with loan officers today are on a loan problem, a pricing issue,
right?
And it becomes transactional. So how do you move beyond that? It sounds a little soft, but I think this is where mm-hmm. you look at a company that's hard to recruit from and one that has a constant churn. It is that relationship. You have different conversations, and even if somebody's frustrated with the company and you're a branch manager, loan officer yeah. comes in and says, Pat, you know, I'm really upset with the way that this gone on, my deals aren't getting done, or pricing's an issue. If you have a relationship, it's a completely different conversation than if it's just a transactional type of relationship.
Well, you're coming into one of my favorite topics, and so of what the core problem is. And one of the things, especially yourself and myself, we have started in certainly a different generation. But now what I see is that there's not a lot of managing going on. I think there's a lot of transactional side. And I think mm-hmm. even at the senior level, there's a lot of the concept of, well, we're just here for pricing and hedging. And, you know, we're not there to develop. They come with their own little skill sets, and that's the gist of it. How do we change this? Because it's not working. The numbers are horrible when you look at the profitability of the business, and you deal with executives at the highest level. Why isn't recognition more that, like, this is, you know, we got to have managers, and we don't really have that. We have recruiters.
I agree with you. I think there's a couple of things have happened. The business ended up becoming, it's changed. It's changed. Mm-hmm. And I think COVID, you know, amplified that, where there's the separation of things, and business was really good. So a manager's job was, how do I just keep the loans going through the system? How do they get done? There's plenty right. of business. So mm-hmm. it was a skill set. And I think the management skill set has been atrophying across the industry to a large extent.
Right.
Technology is probably part of that. There's, you know, a lot of components, but we've reached a point of not having a lot of business. So now the ability yeah. for a manager to come back in and help a loan officer, a regional help, a branch manager is really necessary, but a lot of them don't have the skill sets, and right. it can end up being communication. It can be business planning. There's a, you know, there's a whole host of things that we'd look at, but they've got to be able to get back in there. And going back to the comment about, are you ready to train your people? Mm-hmm. And you can use internal resources, or, you know, certainly there's tons of great external resources. You're one of them. Obviously, you go out and, but it's critical that they get down to that point and they say, what are the needs? And whatever position it is, if it's a branch manager, regional manager, can I meet those needs internally? I can't. Let's look for something outside. But you've got to be able to get back to this management side. We don't see the plenty of loans coming in, you know, so we're not in the years right. of plenty anymore. So it's going to require skills again.
Well, it requires investment. And what I find is interesting, and I'm interested in your comment, back in the day, and not to go in the past because I'm big on the present, the corporation would see themselves and make the investment in the personnel because they looked at the personnel as certainly their driver of success. Now, what you see is that even when you sell at the corporation level, at the senior level, because they're afraid of the loan officers leaving, they don't really want to ruff the feathers and they don't want to make the investment has to be made at the branch manager level. That person has to agree to it. And if they don't agree to it, there's no development going on. But when you have a producing manager structure, by you're shooting yourself in the foot because you really are saying that I just want this guy's production or gal's production. And I don't really, you know, whether care or whether they can manage or grow their business. What do you think of that?
No, I think you're right. And I was speaking to a CEO of a company and he mentioned he's got branches where you have a branch manager who does really well, but they don't pour into their people. They're not feeding them in management side. There is, I think, a mentality that I'm not really sure how it got to this point, but if I was a producing branch manager, there's this idea that, look, I'll bring some loan officers in. I'll help them on a deal once in a while. They'll take care of my overhead. So everything that I originate is really, in essence, I get 100% of it. That goes back, I think, to this idea of your branch being your own business. You're an entrepreneur.
Correct.
And we fed into the sort of the financial side, but we really never fed into the people side of it. And any organization is going to be a collection of people and assets.
Right. You know?
And, but then there's companies that are companies of momentum, you know, they're a movement, there's something beyond that. And what they generally have in common is that everybody understands where the company's going, their role in it, how they contribute. And it's a very tight cultural fit. I don't think the mortgage banking business as a whole has looked at that as in the true sense of trying to build a good culture. It sounds a little soft, but we're down to this people part, you know, and it's messy.
That's it's all about people and change and getting people that will change. I mean, that's where, and it starts at the top, basically. So does that mean that normally the mortgage banking world back in the day was mom and pop business, small companies and doing their thing, a few large, whatever. Now it seems as if the middle tier companies can't really survive because of the cost structure. And is there a perception that having a family and handling your staff that way is actually inefficient?
I think, I'll go going back from the beginning. IMBs generally were regional. There weren't a lot that were national. And so, you know, I still believe that IMBs really where they excelled was delivering an incredible customer experience. You know, to the realtors, to builders, to clients, and then also internally. So I think that's been the natural role of an IMB. As the scale grew, it got harder to create that, just like any large company.
Right.
And I think today what everybody is struggling with is this idea of, is there growth? Are we going to invest in it? Some of them are scared to invest it because maybe they don't have the money to do it.
Right.
And I think, but I think you have to, because if you're not, you're going to stay at the same level that you're at. And there are companies that have been bouncing along at the levels of profitability or unprofitability for the last really 2 years. I think 2025 is going to be pivotal. There's going to end up being a shift in the business. They're going to be the companies that are the ones that are doing something. They're going to gain market share. I think the ones that ignore this, you know, ignore these changes, they're not going to end up doing well. I'm not going to say that they're going to go out of business, but I think they're going to struggle. So
Michael, talk about, we only have a few minutes left. Talk about the types of assignments that you're working on and what are you seeing? What is it that, you know, you're at the top level talking about the executives. Is that really the focus that they need to change and then that will cascade down? Or what is it that seems to be a hot topic for you?
I'm actually working at the top level, also some of the, at the middle level. And then, there's other folks down there. But I think for an organization to really change, it is, you know, senior leadership is going to be there. One of the things that I try to make a lot of the senior leaders aware of is that they're communicating all the time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if it's going to end up being an email, it's going to be a phone call, a town hall meeting, but it's going to be their behaviors, how they react to problems. And so starting there is really critical, because that is, if they don't see it there, then anybody below them is not necessarily going to buy in. So it's got to start there. One of the biggest things that I work on is the ability for leadership to communicate across the organization. And part of that is really understanding the needs of the organization. It's really back to the basics. We're in a people business, and the most important people in your business, actually in the business, are the ones who work for you.
Yeah, I can't agree with you more. So we only have a couple minutes left. What couple of takeaways would you like our listeners to have today?
Connect with your people. It's really important. You know, understand their needs, be able to have good conversations with them. I think that's one thing. I can't emphasize that enough. I think train people. Look at, you know, when you get that true state, train them, find out where the gaps are. If you don't have the skills, bring people in to help you. They will thank you. Even if they don't do it necessarily, they ask you that they need the training. They may jump onto it. They may be reticent to admit that they need training, but make it available and make it relevant to what they do. And then I think last but not least is, look, we've got to bring new people into the business. And I think there are companies that are doing a decent job with that. But going back to the training, I think one of the measurements is ask yourself, if you brought in brand new loan officers, 5 to 10, could you train them from front to back? And if the answer is no, you can't bring new people in, but as importantly, you can't train the existing people you have.
Yeah, that's words of wisdom. I have to have you come back and talk about how do you understand the needs of your people, because I don't think that's understood. So that's for another podcast. So Michael, would you like to share how people can get a hold of you? Obviously, connect with you on LinkedIn, but certainly share your contact information.
Absolutely. Probably the easiest way to get a hold of me is going to end up being via email, and that is going to be the letter M at morehouse.biz, morehouse.biz, or you can call me at 760-500-5010. Also, the website is under the morehousegroup.com.
Well, I want to thank you for joining with us today and sharing all your wisdom. And I want to thank our listeners. Certainly share this information with your colleagues and certainly subscribe to receive the weekly updates. Thanks so much again, Michael.
It's been great being here, Pat.
Thanks for listening to Mortgage Manager Playbook. You can catch up on all our episodes by subscribing to receive each week a new show. Don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and team members. If you're looking to increase production, call me to discuss my prospecting sales training program, Ramping Up Realtor Referral Sources. Check out my website, www.patsherlock.com.